Good morning. If you have your Bibles, make your way to Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Matthew chapter 13 as we begin a new series. And welcome to 2026. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 9 this morning. He who has ears, let him hear. Then his disciples came to him and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears can barely hear, and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it." I want you to imagine, and maybe you have, that you're in a museum. And as you walk through the museum, you begin to look at the art. Maybe you see Picasso's old guitarist, or Leonardo da Vinci's art like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa. Maybe Van Gogh's The Starry Night catches your eye, or Edvard Munch, The Scream. These paintings and others you look at begin to speak to you. The exact meaning of these pictures maybe isn't clear to you at first glance. You stare for a while and process the beauty of this art. But then after a while, maybe you ask questions. They've intrigued you so much, this beauty, that you want more. Art is created to communicate to us something. But we may not know exactly what it communicates unless we ask more questions. That is, of course, if you actually even care to know. That's what makes art so beautiful. Jesus is an artist of words. And one of the ways he speaks to us is in parables. Parables are like art in words. So what are parables? Well, they're short stories of everyday life illustrating spiritual truths. They have been called by some earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Parables make complex ideas accessible, and they encourage you as a listener to dig deeper for its meaning. Like someone going through a museum and not caring are those that are listening to Jesus' parables. Some just wanted a free meal. Some just wanted to see a cool miracle. Some truly hated Jesus because he spoke the truth, and they wanted to catch him in a lie. But there were others that knew him. And there were others that were searching for the truth. They wanted to know what Jesus was saying, and they wanted to dive deeper. This study in these parables are going to expose us. What kind of people are we listening to Jesus' words? So in context of chapter 13, and that's where we're going to spend a lot of time over the next month or two. The context of chapter 13 in Matthew is a turning point in Jesus' ministry on earth. In the previous chapters of Matthew, Jesus is declaring he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is proving this truth by the miracles and the signs that he has performed. And now, it has become clear to Jesus that he is being rejected by religious leaders. For example, in Matthew chapter 12, after listening to Jesus, seeing what Jesus has done in people's lives, their response, these religious leaders, he must be an instrument of Satan. And the Pharisees heard it. They said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. They begin to say Jesus must be working from some demonic power. The religious leaders had completely rejected Jesus, and they thus blasphemed the work of the Holy Spirit. The unforgivable sin. So because of this rejection of Jesus, Jesus has now moved into chapter 13 to instruct those who would have an ear to listen to Jesus in parables. So let's get into our text in our series in parables. Matthew chapter 9 describes to us in this introduction, why does Jesus speak in parables? Well, the first thing is parables will show us what kind of camp we're in. What camp are you in this morning? Whatever race, whatever sex, whatever amount of money you have in your bank account, none of it matters. What matters to Jesus is what camp are you in? Belief or unbelief? Look at verses 10 through 12 again with me. You could see the comparison here. His disciples came and said to him, "Why are you speaking in parables?" And he answered them, "To you," meaning the believers, "has been given the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them," meaning the religious leaders, who have rejected Jesus, who could care less about what he's saying, "it has not been given." You see the camp? "For to the one who has," meaning salvation, more will be given, meaning the knowledge of the secrets of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, meaning an unbeliever, even what he has, and what Jesus is saying is they've been given the knowledge of Scripture. They've been given the knowledge that the Messiah would do what he's going to do, and they have rejected it. So even the knowledge of the Scriptures that they have completely rejected the truth. Jesus will speak to us in parables to expose us in which camp we're in. Belief or unbelief? This phrase that Jesus uses in speaking in parables, you see it in verse 11. To you, believers, has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That's an important phrase we're going to hear over and over as we study parables. Those that are in the camp of belief, in trust, in reliance, in faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, has received the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So let me take a pause here. What is the secrets of the kingdom of heaven? It's an important phrase. Well, let me break off before I get to my next point. Here are the meaning of the secrets of heaven. Number one, we have to understand the secret of the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. So what Jesus is saying, well, specifically, what the Jews wanted was the Messiah that they thought they would believe in would bring in a physical kingdom. You know, the one that would destroy their earthly enemies. Rome. They wanted a kingdom of heaven that was established through force. Physically. By this Messiah. The problem is, for the last 12 chapters, Jesus didn't teach this kind of kingdom. He taught the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual realm. It's a spiritual reign that you receive when you put your faith and trust in him. He begins to rule your heart. He gives you eternal life. He doesn't take away your physical enemies. He takes away your spiritual ones. Sin, Satan, and death. See, the religious leaders wanted a physical, a political kingdom from their Messiah, and Jesus didn't give that. That's not what he was offering. Jesus is offering a spiritual kingdom that resides in every single believer. But what does that mean? Spiritual kingdom. Well, it means that you have a present and a future hope. The kingdom of heaven is both a present reality and a future reality. Presently, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the reign of Jesus begins to change your life when you submit to him. You've submitted to him for your salvation. The kingdom of heaven begins to get you to submit to him on a day-to-day basis for his reign in your life. This kingdom of heaven is not just this present reality that he's transforming the believer by ruling your heart, but it's a future hope as well. Jesus is coming back. He's going to make all things new. He will remove all sin. And he will have an eternal reign. We should be saying, when we read verses like this, Jesus, come quickly. We ought to want this. And Jesus invites all of us, by the way, to embrace the kingdom of heaven, not just for salvation, but for transformation. Him ruling in your heart on a day-to-day basis. To have the kingdom of heaven, by the way, is to have that hope. That Jesus will never leave you alone, that he'll always be with you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you everywhere you're at. This is what it means to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So that leads me to the next point of the parables. Not only are they going to show us which camp we're in, have we received the spirit or the secrets of the kingdom of heaven? Are we believers or are we unbelievers? But secondly, I want you to see, and it's an important reason why Jesus uses parables, is that it does show us that Jesus himself is the Son of God because he fulfills prophecy by doing so. We'll look at verses 13 through 15 again. Jesus said, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Speaking to the religious leaders, the unbelievers. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says in Isaiah chapter 6, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes, they've closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." So this showing of the fulfillment of prophecy, Jesus spoke in parables to unsaved people because it proved that God himself does the saving. He knows that people are going to reject him, thus fulfilling prophecy. Psalm 78, verse 2 said that this is the reason Jesus would open his mouth in parables. Isaiah 6, looking back at verses 14 and 15, Isaiah 6 is what he quotes here. He quotes this idea in Isaiah 6, which is a prophecy that his own people will reject him. So Jesus is saying, I'm speaking in parables to fulfill the very prophecy that there will always be people who reject me. That's true today too. Are there people today who will never believe? No matter what truth is told them, they will never believe. And the answer is yes. Now, does this stop us? Does it stop you from sharing the glories of the gospel and the secrets of heaven? Of course not. It didn't stop Jesus. It should only motivate us more because it doesn't rest on us. If you choose to reject the truth, it isn't because I'm not a good speaker. It isn't because I didn't share the verses right. You reject the truth because you don't want to hear it. You already have it figured out, just like the religious leaders. Even worse, some of you think you're going to heaven because you came to church. You're going to heaven because you were raised in a Christian home. And the truth is right before you that you yourself have to put your faith individually in the Son of God and what He did for you, but forget that. I want to go to heaven the way I think I can go to heaven. This is why Jesus Himself in Matthew chapter 7 told us this. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And what? Those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Why? Why is it so hard? Because we have to humble ourselves and acknowledge Jesus did it all. Back to those verses in 14 and 15. Again, there is an appeal. There's still an appeal. Even though God knows people are going to reject Him, there is still a human responsibility to turn to Him and repent. You see the words you, there, they, them. It's obvious He's talking to unbelievers. But at the end He says if they would turn to Christ, He would heal them. This should motivate us to continue to share the gospel, continue to share with our neighbors and our friends, but recognize there will be people who will absolutely reject the truth. I don't like getting political, but I'm going to do it for an illustration. So if you get offended by this, sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I look at what's happening in Minnesota, and it sickens me to the core. There are such idiots up there that no matter what truth would be put in front of their face, they would reject it no matter what. And it just reminds me of the gospel. You could present the truth and the reality of something so common sense. Like, don't break the law. And people will reject it. It's the same with spiritual truth. You could hear the gospel over and over again, and yet you still think you're going to heaven because you're kind of good. Jesus will speak to us in parables to remind us. The truth is, some people are just going to reject the truth. But it shouldn't stop us from keep telling it, right? What's the last point I want to make? See if I can offend you some more. The parables will show us the blessings of following Jesus. Yes, the parables are for believers. Look at verse 16 again. But blessed are your eyes. He's talking to the believers, the disciples. For they see, and your ears, for they hear. We want to hear from the artist. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see you, see what you're seeing. And they didn't get to see it. And to hear what you're hearing. They didn't get to hear it. The disciples of Jesus knew the truth of who Jesus was, and they see it, and they need to see it as the most amazing gift ever given. They can understand, not because they were super smart, but because God opened their eyes to the truth. If you're a believer, you ought to rejoice that God has opened your eyes to the truth of the Word of God. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says, listen, the natural person, that means the unbeliever, he doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness. Jesus dying on a cross for my sins. How stupid. But to those who are being saved, to those who understand, listen, he says, for their folly to him, he's not able to understand. Because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, we that know Christ, that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he has indwelled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can understand scriptures. We can understand the parables. Yes, we have to dig deeper. Those of you who do Bible studies, and I hope every one of you do you completely understand everything when you do a Bible study? No. Do you want to know more, and do you dig in, and do you dive in, and then, whoa. That's what it means to be blessed. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're a follower of Christ, you are blessed with the knowledge of the truth of God. We get this opportunity from Jesus because we've placed our faith and trust in him. We get to know the secrets of heaven, that he indwells us and that he reigns in my heart to transform me to look more like his son. We're going to hear the blessings of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven throughout this series. Just as an example, look at Matthew 13, verse 24. As we go through this parable, you'll notice he says, but in another parable before them, I'm saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who has sowed good seed in a field. And then in verse 31, he put it in another parable before them. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in a field. The idea to the believer is you have to remember the beauty and the truth that Jesus reigns in our heart should cause us to want him to rule more. We've been given this great gift of salvation. Now live for him. That'll be the purpose of those parables to the believer. You know, some people call this the Sermon at the Sea. Last year at this time, I began a series in the Sermon on the Mount. It's another opportunity for us to reflect and ask questions about the artist Jesus, the Son of God. Which leads me to our application. As you look through, as we consider our study in the parables, it will cause you to make a decision about Jesus. Belief or unbelief. There is no middle ground. You have a choice today, while you're living, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. If you choose not to believe him, you send yourself to hell. The other application, which would be probably for the majority of the people here, if you have believed, if you've received the secret of the kingdom of heaven, his rule and his reign in your heart, then my question for you is, are you following him? Obedience is not what gets you to heaven, but it is the fruit of someone that knows they are going. Has anyone ever questioned whether you're a real, genuine follower of Christ? Maybe because there's never any fruit. Galatians chapter 5 tells us this. The fruit of the Spirit, someone who has the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, will experience the transforming work of Jesus in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you see that fruit in your life? Maybe this study will remind you of the blessings, of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that reign in your life. Maybe it'll cause you to remind yourself, I need him to work in my life. Is there fruit? If you reflect on your walk with Jesus and you profess to know Jesus, is there fruit? Because if there is no fruit, you can't possibly understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. I love starting the year with the Lord's table, for we get a chance to reset, to consider the gospel anew. You get to hold that bread, follower of Jesus Christ. You get to hold that bread and consider the Son of God, Jesus. He lived a perfect life to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He never sinned, unlike us. He is the bread of life. When you take that bread and you eat that bread, you remind yourself that your sin, my sin, put Jesus on that cross. So repent. Turn from your sin. Begin to experience the joy and the blessing of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that reside in you. And ask Jesus to rule and reign every single day. You get to hold that juice and you remember that he had to die. Hebrews chapter 9 says that if he did not shed the blood, we will have no forgiveness of sins. He had to die. His perfect life doesn't save me. His perfect life coupled with his sacrificial death and resurrection is what gives me hope. I hold that juice and I remember that he atoned for my sins. He paid the price for my guilt of my sin, and I thank him. And I respond in gratitude. And so should you. Let's go to the Lord's table in anticipation and humility, but also a commitment to follow the Lord in 2026. Will you pray with me? Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder in this study of the joys of knowing you, the humility that you opened our eyes to the truth, but also the sadness we have for those who have yet to receive the gift of salvation. So Lord, I do pray that those who know you would commit their lives to your reign in their hearts. And to those who don't know you, may they say today is the day of their salvation and gladly have supper with you. God, may your church always point people to you, whether those that don't know you and those that do. You are our hope. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, there'll be a song, a couple songs sung. Those of you who know Christ as Lord and Savior, and you profess that, gladly take the communion table. Those of you who are considering whether this truth is real or not, let this table pass from you. It is only for those who have trusted. But it doesn't mean that you can't do that now. Humbly receive him as your Lord and Savior. Let's sing.